Sikkim 365 Radio. This segment on Baylor Athletics on Sikkim 365 Radio is brought to you by Richard Carr Buick GMC Cadillac, located at the Imperial Drive exit off Loop 340 in Waco. Proud supporters of all Baylor Athletics.
Nothing like coming out of retirement at the age of 20, early 20s, and then all of a sudden, like, getting ready to do something, and it's not happening. Sam Tecklenburg, former Baylor offensive lineman, one of the go-to guys in that locker room and media sessions, now with part of the Carolina Panthers, joins us out of Plano, and he's there and joined Sikkim 365 Radio. Tech, how you been? What's this been like for you? You retire, then all of a sudden you're back to playing football, but you can't do anything.
Yeah, it's been going well. I mean, it's been good to get back to training and, you know, learning the offense right now. I mean, we're doing the best we can given circumstances, and even with that, I'd say it's going pretty well so far.
What have you been doing to keep yourself in shape, especially early on when you really couldn't go anywhere?
I got a weight room at my house back home, so I'm lifting there, and then doing running and position drills back up at my high school back home. So able to get everything that I need from home while trying to stay safe and, you know, keep myself, you know, out of harm's way.
So, Sam, where are you mostly living right now? Have you been able to even have the chance to really get out to Carolina much?
No, I haven't been out yet. I'm living back in Plano right now, my hometown, just north of Dallas. So hopefully we'll get out there soon, though, for camp. And, yeah, just living in Plano right now.
So what were you doing when Matt Rhule called you?
I was watching the draft. I mean, I've been watching it all weekend just to see where some of our guys went. I mean, I spent most of that weekend watching the draft nonstop. It was the first time I think I've ever watched it from start to finish, the whole thing. So I was doing that.
Had you been in touch with him prior to the draft? I know that the story's been told, but it's been a while now since that was in late April. What was any kind of communication between you, Carolina, or any other NFL teams, or between you and Coach Rhule?
Yeah, me and Coach Rhule talked a couple times the leading months up to that. And you know, he just kind of just let me know if I was interested in playing. He still would have me. I talked to some other teams, and I was telling them the same thing. You know, at that time, I decided I didn't want to play anymore. So I was telling them all that. But kind of when the opportunity came, I was at the point where I was wanting to play again. So I definitely took the opportunity, and I'm happy I did.
Man, do you think that maybe like just like everybody, I guess everybody almost from that coaching staff is there in Carolina now? I mean, I guess that appeal of the familiarity with Rhule, but just everybody, man, it's like I don't really have a question. It just seems like a dream scenario to move from your college staff to basically your college staff at the pro level in many ways.
Yeah, I think it's a good situation for me. You know, like it was at Baylor, though, you know, it was all business there. And, you know, I expect nothing less with them going forward. So I know, you know, that's how it's going to be, but I'm just grateful for the opportunity. I do think it is a good situation knowing some familiar faces.
So, Sam, looking back on your time at Baylor, when the changeover first happened, obviously that first year was very rough. You were one of the leaders. You had to kind of help guide them through those tough times. But what do you remember about your first impressions of Matt Rhule, and just what were your thoughts at the time as that whole process got started of, you know, were you all in and thinking that it was going to work? Were you kind of – like, where was your mindset at that time?
I think like a lot of the guys, I was unsure, you know, of how things were going to go. I think that whole first year just naturally took some time for everyone to kind of get used to each other. But, you know, so, yeah, I mean, that first year, I think some people were a little unsure. But I think, you know, quickly people bought in. It was clear, you know, he knew what he was doing. He wanted the best for everyone. He was going to be tough on us, but we knew that was going to, you know, get the best results.
I have to ask you, are you at a shooting range?
I am, sorry. I'm trying to mute my phone when I'm not
No, this is fantastic. It's the best ambience I think we've ever had. I just had to ask you. That sounds really cool. Is that something where you just – that allows you to get away and just kind of get some fresh air?
Well, I'm actually getting married this weekend, and I didn't do a bachelor party or anything just because I've been so busy, and my best man decided to take me out to the shooting range. So, and I was unsure of what the plans were going to be today. when I agreed to it. So I told him, I was like, I'm going to have to step away for a few minutes. I told these guys to come on the radio at 3:30. So
wait a minute.
That's back-to-back. Get Grayson Grundhafer.
Yeah.
Coming up next, also getting married this week.
Yeah. We got a writer from Sikkim365.com who joins us on Fridays. He's getting married this weekend. Well, congratulations. Oh, yeah. Has it been, like, really something that's been hard to manage? Or what's it been, the experience? Was this the original date, or has it been pushed back a few times?
It's the original date. You know, my mindset is, you know, there's never going to be a perfect time to where it seems to get married. And even though these circumstances are extreme, we figured we'd just keep the same date and, you know, try the best we can. And just making sure, you know, everyone's healthy and safe is our biggest concern. But, you know, we were going to do our best not to put, you know, our life on hold.
Mm-hmm.
And make it work if we can, you know.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you. We're talking to Sam Tecklenburg. Baylor started 41 games on the offensive line. We had yesterday a friend of yours, a teammate of yours, and he kind of got on me a little bit, didn't he, Blake Blackmark? Because I said he had started 37 of his last, like, 38 games, and he was, excuse me, I was out of the game for the first snap for somebody. They had Tanner Thrift do something. To be a part of that, to start 41 games through so many different things that Baylor football was dealing with, how proud are you about the longevity and also the continuity there?
I'm proud of it. I mean, I've always thought, you know, the best ability is availability. I know a lot of people say that, but, I mean, to have started, you know, all those games and then to, you know, have Blackmore and Pat Lawrence do the same thing, it was, you know, the offensive line, I don't think ever got to a level where we would have hoped, but at least, you know, we were available and I knew we were all in and we were out there every Saturday doing the best we could. And so, yeah, I think that's a credit to those two. And, you know, we put a lot of work in to make sure we were ready to go every Saturday the past 2 years.
You were a part of building the I guess the house was torn down and then you were a part of helping build it back up again. I asked Blake yesterday about the fact he was a part of it, but then he couldn't enjoy last year because he was not a part of it. What was the thought about being able to finish, even though you didn't finish against Oklahoma and or with Georgia, to be on the team, Sam, that really kind of turned it back around and set the foundation, the standard for the future?
It means a lot, you know. I mean, and the success we had last year, there's no doubt was built on the foundation of guys, you know, like Blackmore and the seniors that year and Taylor Young and Brian Nance, the seniors the year before. I mean, you know, it could be easy to forget about those guys, but last year's success was built by those guys, you know, as well as a lot of people on the team, obviously. But, you know, I'll never, you know, credit's due where it's due, and those guys deserve all the credit for the success we had last year. You know, I wish, like, they could have been a part of it, but I know all of them are, you know, so proud and, that, you know, they can have some peace knowing that they built that.
What is it like to talk to the guys now and you guys can reminisce about having 6 to 8 guys in a room when you know, 1 year and now, you know, they're going to have to learn each other's names. There's so many dudes there.
Sorry, can you say that again? I didn't hear you.
What's it like to talk to the guys, the offensive linemen, when you guys had, you know, that first year rule, you had, what, 6, 7, 8 guys in the room for a little while there and didn't know who the, you know, was going to happen if 4 guys were hurt and what you're going to do. And now the room's just so chock full of dudes, they got to wear name tags.
Yeah, it's definitely good. It's a good situation to be in. That's one position in football you do want a lot of depth at. And in college, you know, you have the benefit of, you know, if you can, however many guys you can have on scholarship or walk on, I mean, you want to get as many guys in that room as you can. So, yeah, it's good that they have some depth now, and even better that there's some continuity. There's some guys that have, you know, been there for a few years now, have some experience. So it's a good situation that they're in.
Who are a couple maybe of those returning linemen that stand out to you, Sam? You got Newman and Galvin, and there's many, many others, as we've mentioned. But who are a couple guys that stood out to you during your time?
Definitely Xavier. I mean, you know, he's a guy who's going to have to take over that room. And Connor Galvin, too. Already coming up is, I guess, on his junior year now, and unbelievable ability, you know, hard worker. Both of those guys, you know, are special players, some of the better guys I've played with. So it was great to play with them, and I'm looking forward to kind of seeing, you know, them taking charge of that room and seeing what they can do this year.
So tonight, when you guys do what you're doing now, and that's awesome that you're able to go do some things, your best man and all that, and we're thrilled for you. So what's going to be an easier way to fall asleep or have a restless night of sleep? You're about to play for the Big 12 championship, or you're about to get married?
Getting married is the easy part for me, honestly. I'm really lucky. My fiance Kelsey's awesome, and she does so much for me and for my life, and it's a very easy decision. I'm hoping everything goes well this weekend, just with all the restrictions that are kind of being put in place. Hopefully everything can work out, for my sake, but also especially for her. She's worked really hard to, make sure this wedding goes well and stay safe. But, the Big 12 championship would probably, put a little more stress on me, because you got to go out and do it. That's not a given. I think, hopefully, assuming all goes well, this weekend's a given that she will marry me and nothing will go wrong. we're hoping, as long as everything holds up from a restriction standpoint, that we're able to get married and have some family there. Definitely Big 12 championship for sure. A lot's got to go to beat a team like Oklahoma.
Now, listen, Sam, I'm Catholic, and I'm wondering what Catholic weddings are doing now to speed things along, because believe me, they're long. So do you have a shortened, Sam, do you, and then you can just get to the reception?
Yeah, we're going to do everything we can. We both agreed, we don't want to be up there too long for the actual ceremony. So we're going to get the job done. Get to it while trying to keep everyone who's there, safe and healthy. Number one thing is, we are excited, but we do want everyone to leave the thing healthy. So we kind of want to get in and get out a little bit in regards to the ceremony, but still have a special day and special weekend.
Man, we're happy for you. That's awesome. The way things have flipped with getting back in the NFL. Good luck with what happens down the road, with hopefully teams reporting at the end of the month. And also, again, congratulations on tomorrow. We're about to go from someone who's about to get married and Sam Tecklenburg to somebody who covered you in Grayson Grundhafer. Congratulations. Have fun. Enjoy the day.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
That's awesome. I didn't know that. He didn't say that to me. He just told me. And again, he went to Plano High School. He said he's up there. And next thing you know, he kind of started referring to it in almost like when I'm at home.
Yeah.
Sounds like a chore he's got tomorrow. So it's like it doesn't – like, I know for her it's a huge deal. For him it's a huge deal too, but he's obviously not stressing too much over like the actual ceremony and things like that. So for him it's like, just wake up, show up, say I do, and do your job. Like he said, do your job. It's like football.
Skeet shooting or whatever he might be doing out at the range, that's awesome. Good for him.
Yeah, I think they were probably more on the range. Like, we would have heard somebody going, pull!
Yeah. I think they were just shooting at targets probably.
Maybe just cans on a stump out somewhere on a lease, whatever. But that's awesome. Now, we go from him. I didn't